Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Fresh off of a vice presidential debate evening and feeling pretty good, feeling better than all right, I might say, about the debate performance of J.D. Vance last night. We'll talk more about that in the 2 o'clock hour. We got some fun reaction video. I have some fun things I can't wait to show you. And I don't know how much of this that you, Brad and Ryan, have seen, but there's some good stuff, reaction stuff out there that we'll talk about here in the 2 o'clock hour. But I'm also excited to welcome into our studio, we've got Todd Sivia in here, and Sivia Law is a new sponsor here on the Annie Fry Show. But I've been in the same circles as Todd Sivia for quite some time, and I was really excited to be able to bring on somebody who I can recommend to you when it comes to planning your estate. This is something people have a ton of questions about, and you kind of get analysis paralysis when it comes time to going in and making the decisions. It just seems so overwhelming. Todd, first of all, welcome into the studio. Thank you for being in here.
Well, thank you so much.
One of the things that was really astonishing to me is that when it comes to wills and trusts and powers of attorney, you have a 2-week turnaround for completed documents.
Absolutely.
From that first sit down strategy session.
Absolutely. From that strategy session, you know, we're usually there. We're trying to get everything completed. We have a very refined process because. You know, I can give you example upon example where people waited, they sat down and talked to me, and then within 2 or 3 months, they pass away, and they still don't have anything signed. And, you know, if you don't have it signed, there is no estate plan. So it is so important for, you know, a quick turnaround with the process. I was actually talking to some guys from Farm Credit, where, you know, they would see guys that, you know, spend 6 months to a year going through the process and trying to get the estate completed. And, you know, there's usually a, you know, from our perspective, we want to give you a plan. We want to tell you exactly, here's your process. Here's the steps. Here's where we think we're going to resolve things mm-hmm. and move forward. So,
yeah. I people are talking about how long probate takes on the YouTube live chat poll. For you to be able to commit to a 2-week turnaround for this estate plan versus how long does it take? Should that estate planning not get done?
Yeah.
Everything goes into probate. Probate's a word that I think a lot of people have heard, but maybe don't really understand.
Yeah.
What is probate and what is the consequence of not spending just that 2-week time period to get this done?
Absolutely. So probate is a process. Basically, you file a lawsuit against each other, and you go through this process, and it's called probate, because no one can sign, for example, the deed to the house. No one can sign that. The only person that can sign is a judge. So you have to go through this whole process and making sure everything is tidied up and accounted for and everything else like that. In the state of Illinois, it's a 2-year process. So, you know, and with that, you know, I always go back to my Uncle Gene. My Uncle Gene, love him to death, he had a will. And wills, and, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but wills go through probate. And if you have a will, it goes through probate. And in his circumstance, he had 26 nieces and nephews that he left a little portion to each one of us. And he passed away. And I was one of those 26 nieces and nephews that received funds. And through that process, it took 2 years. And after it was done, my mom said one poignant comment that I thought was that I share with everybody is, we can now start the grieving process.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's now done. So that's the hardship with regards to probate. Whereas my grandfather, he had a trust, and, you know, my mom was the sole beneficiary of that trust. And my mom came to me at the funeral of my grandfather and said, what's my next steps? I said, well, mom, go into the bank, change the name from you from the trust to you, and you're done.
And that's it.
That's it for her. So, you know, it doesn't always get that. It's not always that simple. But she was a sole owner, a sole beneficiary of that trust.
So I want to talk about trusts versus wills. You've mentioned that wills always go through probate.
Yes.
Trusts give you an extra shield of privacy.
Yep.
Speed, potential loss of money.
Yeah.
What does a will do? Let's start at the beginning. What's the difference between a will and a trust?
Will and a trust. The difference between a will and a trust. I mean, the will is specifying all your directions, but in order to enforce it, we have to prove that it is in existence, and that is the last will. So you have to go through and file the probate action to get it approved that that was the last will. Whereas if it's a trust, the trust is already there, and everything is titled into that name of the trust, which is kind of a key important point, making sure that it's funded. But that's really the difference is probate, you know, will is having a certain direction and versus a trust, which continues life beyond the person's death.
Yeah.
So that's an important distinction between the two.
I think it's so important for people to know these things and to be able to ask questions about it because it's hard to know anything about this world until you have a brush with it. And hopefully your first brush with it isn't where you are very personally attached to the situation. You might hear of a friend who's experiencing loss of a parent or something like that, and it's super easy for them. And they're so grateful that everything was set up so that it was turkey like that. Or often it's a disaster.
It's typically the disaster. That's what you're hearing is, oh my gosh, you know, I got to go through, got to go to court, I got to go do this, I got to go talk to the attorney. And it's not just one time visiting the attorney, it's multiple times I got to visit the attorney's office and go through this accounting. And oh, by the way, you're in court. So if anybody wants to fight anything, you're already in court.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got a lawyer for the estate, you know, one of your relatives may have a lawyer that fights different issues. So
talk to me about when somebody creates a trust, they designate a trustee, maybe trustees.
Yes.
What does that mean to be a trustee?
Trustee is basically just the handler of the assets. So they're responsible. So you want somebody, one, responsible to manage the trust or manage whatever. And it's somebody that is good with money. You know, a lot of times you find somebody that, they do it based upon birth order or this or that. They really don't think, well, are they really good with money? Can they manage it? You know, do they get overwhelmed with circumstances? You know, how are they during crises? And, you know, how many times have they bought and sold a house? Because those are the end of life things that we have to handle.
Is there a difference between being a trustee and an heir?
The difference between a trustee and an heir is the trustee is managing the money. And they could be one and the same. So, you know, maybe, you know, like I've got three kids at home. You know, if I named them, one of them as a trustee, then they could manage everything, sell off everything, and also be the heir. Heir is the person that is receiving those benefits.
Mm-hmm. But you might be an heir and not a trustee.
Correct.
And still entitled to what is determined by what is set by the individuals who created the trustee? Like, what kind of decision-making power does the trustee have, or is that usually stipulated before they become the trustee?
It's all set out in the terms. So it's very clear on these terms, and it's based upon what the document says. You know, it depends upon how long the trust is and what authority it gives you in different circumstances. So, you know, is a person alive, is a person dead? Are they managing the assets today while we're dealing with nursing homes or something along those lines?
Somebody's incapacitated or...
Right. Or is it after, post-death? And there's different rules with regards to to all of that. And what we're looking for as an attorney, you know, what are the issues that we've got to speak about? So,
yeah, it's all very, very important stuff, because once the time passes and it's too late, it is officially too late. The website is civialaw.com, SIVIA law.com. And we're speaking with Todd Sivia of Sivia Law. He's the owner and attorney at Sivia Law. They have locations in Edwardsville, Wentzville, East Dalton, Swansea, and Mount Vernon. We're going to take a break here because I've got some thoughts and comments coming in from people who are reacting to this conversation. And if you have a specific question that you would like me to ask our expert attorney, Todd Sivia, Annie Fry YouTube channel, come on there and just leave a comment and let us know a question in the comment section, what we can ask Todd and get some expertise answer to your question. So go to civialaw.com in the break. And when we come back, we'll get to some of your questions and thoughts with Todd Sivia in studio on the Annie Fry Show. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Ryan, you said there are a ton of questions coming in on the YouTube channel.
I am not talking much because I'm trying to keep up with them.
Okay.
So, yes.
If you have questions for Todd Sivia of SiviaLaw.com, new sponsor of the Annie Fry Show and friend of mine, excited to have him a part of the Annie Fry Show family, estate planning, wills, trust. I will also tell you right now, you need to give him a call directly if you have any questions about anything regarding estate planning, wills, powers of attorney, so on and so forth. 833-995-WILL. That's 833-995-WILL. Or civialaw.com, and I will tell you he has multiple locations in Missouri and Illinois. He can serve both of those areas, so please reach out to him directly with personal ones that you might want to talk in a little more depth with. So before we get to your questions, real quick, Todd, I wanted to talk to you about the aid in attendance pension. A lot of people know that if you're like kind of a part of it, the ANA pension, that veterans, I know that you are very passionate about supporting yes. veterans. And this is something that if you are a veteran or the spouse of a veteran, you have to know about this.
Yes.
And you spend your time connecting veterans with these very, very important benefits.
Yes, absolutely. My grandfather was a Korean War veteran, and he was in a nursing home, and he had long-term care, but they were short on cash. You know, I mean, the cost of long-term care is $10,000 a month, and that's for to take care of you in your golden years. And you know, my grandfather had Alzheimer's, because he was a Korean War veteran, he qualified for a program called Aid in Attendance. And aid in attendance is $2,600 a month if you need assistance. And there are asset requirements, there's income requirements and things of that sort. But just because somebody says, oh, you know, I've got too much in assets, doesn't mean that we can't get you qualified for that and plan for it. We just need time. And it's so important to get that situated in time. And the most important thing is the spouse of the veteran can also qualify for that benefit as well. It's lesser amount, but it's $1,300. And you know, I've seen the numbers for a lot of clients. That extra $2,600 or even that extra $1,300 to help them in assisted living or skilled care is so important in those end of the life years. And I think that's a difference in our law firm is we focus in on that more of that elder law care and where we're planning for, we're not planning just for the probate. We're planning for everything before the end of life, making sure that everything is you've got your living wills, you've got your power of attorneys, and everything before death is all put together.
Yeah, and you can trust the people at Sivia Law to be able to guide you through this. This is one of their passion projects,
yeah.
And certainly fits the bill here for us, as we are very grateful for our veterans as well. And I want to tell you folks to, if you are a veteran or if you're the spouse of a veteran, to put this on your calendar. On Veterans Day, Sivia Law is offering to the first 20 veterans that call each of their 5 offices. You have to reach out to them on Veterans Day for the first 20 veterans at each of their 5 offices that call 833-995-WILL on Veterans Day are going to receive complimentary health and financial powers of attorney. and that is the Civia Law sign of gratitude for your service. This is a $300 value, and if you are the first to call on Veterans Day, that number, 833-995-WILL, on Veterans Day, first 20, you get that opportunity complimentary of Civia Law. So I really appreciate you extending that. It's part of our partnership with them.
Absolutely.
To start out here. It's a great way to thank our veterans. Brad, let's go to you first. You got a question from somebody on the Annie Frye YouTube channel?
This one's from Robert on the chat, and he wants to know the difference between a trustee and an executor. And I had a follow-up question to that after.
Yeah. I mean, most of the time with trustees and executors, they could be one and the same, because one, the trustee refers to the trust, a executor refers to a will. So it's just it's the same type of person, but it's the different instrument. So one could be, you know, if you have a trust, you may have a pour over will and a trust, and they may be the same people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it could be the same people, but with wills, it's called executors, and trust, it's called trustees.
Okay. So I've been made executor on some family members, different family members' ones. And one of the things that I wanted to ask is do you, one family member is very precise, very, you know, all T's crossed, all I's dotted, that sort of thing. Do you guys ever do any sort of, like, if they want to come in and, hey, this is what I have, can you double check my homework kind of checkup on a will, on a trust, or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. We always are willing to take a look at the different, what you have. And, you know, we always follow up and say, you know, do you have everything situated? Because, you know, I've seen a lot of attorneys where they'll draft all these wonderful documents, but then I ask them, okay, what on your bank account? Who owns your bank account? Mm. You have a trust, but is your bank account owned by the trust? And I would say 99% of the time, that's not the case.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
So the checkup is maybe a good idea.
Checkup is kind of a good thing, you know, because you spend all this money on a trust, and in all reality, it all goes through probate anyway because nothing is titled.
That's why you need to have somebody in charge that knows these details, because you can think you're doing everything, and then you miss out on one major detail that you just didn't know about or they didn't know about, and big problems.
Yeah, trust funding is like, if you go to an attorney and they don't offer trust funding, I'd
walk
out.
When you say trust funding, what do you mean by funding the trust?
Funding means putting all your assets into the trust.
Making sure that it's
all the way through. Because you may have beneficiaries on something. Mm. And if you have a beneficiary on something, that eliminates everything you did in your trust or everything in your will.
So if I have a beneficiary on my 401k or a life insurance policy through my work, that supersedes
everything.
The trust says.
Correct. So if you, so for example, if you have kids, and
I got a lot of them,
and you name them as your beneficiary on your life insurance policy, and they're under the age of 18, it drops to them, and it doesn't follow your will.
But I can name my trust as my beneficiary.
You name your
on the life insurance.
On the life insurance.
And that is called funding the trust.
That's called funding.
Ryan?
Annie made me put her as beneficiary on all my stuff. Is that sound?
As part of your responsibility.
Yeah.
That's why I had hired Todd. You're going to have him check it and make sure you did it right.
This was very off the record. I don't know if she knew I was going to ask you this live.
This is embarrassing.
Yeah. Is that okay?
Well, yeah, that's fine.
Yes.
It's fine. Oh, good.
Are you kidding me? He gets 10%.
Oh, gosh. You guys might be in on this. All right, I'm going to pull up. There's a bunch of listener questions. I'm going to start with an easy one here. Does Todd practice in both Missouri and Illinois?
Absolutely.
Okay. I figured that one would be pretty quick. Next one is, and this sounds like it's probably like an internal family question.
Yeah.
Can there be rules placed on the trustee?
Yes.
Yeah. Like what kind of rules are common?
You name it. I love talking to people about what their passions are.
Mm-hmm.
I've got trustees or families that say you have to start your own business in order to get anything. You have to get married to get anything. There's two good families that we can talk about. We can talk about the Vandeveters. and the Rockefellers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's the kind of money we're talking about in your bill, right, Ryan? Just want to make sure.
But
no.
But any type of wealth. And it doesn't matter if it's a small wealth or a big wealth. But
there's Wiggins to Rockefellers.
There's Rockefellers.
That's the spectrum.
But the Vandeveders, if we watch them, within three generations, all that money was gone. If you look at the Rockefellers, they set it up to refund itself, and the Rockefeller money is still around.
Wow.
So within three generations, it could be gone. So
you have another one?
Yeah. This one is over my head. I'm going to ask it and just assume that okay. You know what he's talking about. Rick asks, talk about family trust versus separate trust for both spouses.
Ah.
Okay. This is pretty deep, right?
That gets a little deep.
Okay.
So, in different situations, there may be a time where you have a trust for one person versus, you know, a husband and wife.
Is this like blended family stuff?
Blended families are a good example. Another time is if we have a tax problem and we need to separate the estate. You know, a lot of times that happens as well. But I generally do joint trust versus the other way, just so that it is one consistent plan.
You're so far above me that what I'm hearing is, you know what this is.
Yes, I know exactly what that is.
So basically, if you relate to this problem that Rick commented about, civula.com.
Yeah.
What other ones you got, Ryan?
Let's see, just people talking about how important this is. So many people giving a little bit of their stories, you know, adding a question here or there. I got a question just personally. I think the last time we had to deal with anything like this in my family, I was pretty young. I was probably just barely an adult. Okay. So I was aware that this was happening, but I wasn't really involved in it.
Yeah.
And I think that this had to do with a will that was just written on a piece of paper. Is that actually a legal document?
It is not a legal document.
It's not.
It's called a holographic will.
That sounds very futuristic.
Yes. But a lot of times those don't come into play. You have to have certain requirements, certain witness requirements, certain notary requirements. And then you have, okay, you know, I love Illinois.
No.
You know, tell us about it. I will.
But I recognize a lot of, you know, my clients don't always like Illinois, and they may leave Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So then you have, you know, all the notarization requirements of those different states. So typically when we handle a trust fund or trust signing, we're usually having, you know, two witnesses and a notary to be present and have everything situated, because that covers like 49 out of the 50 states.
Okay.
So, you know, the requirements of, you know, like doing things on LegalZoom and things of that sort. If you don't cross your T's, dot your I's, make sure everything is situated, you may sign something and not realize, oh, I needed extra people on this or that. So it's important to, again, draft it like you want.
So how often should somebody go back and revisit looking at their will, their trust, or whatever?
So I always say any kind of life changes.
Okay.
Tax law changes. So I anticipate that next year as a big issue.
All toward the positive, right?
Can we go back and complain about Illinois?
Okay. Anyway, but after that, it's usually 3 to 5 years. You know, I love people. Not everybody loves to see me as their attorney. I'm usually trying to predict things and think through things, the what ifs in the world. So, you know, if I've thought through all the what ifs, you know, it's usually 5 years. Before I see them again.
Okay. Brad, so. I know we got, 90 seconds left here? 57:50?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
If we need an extra minute. But let's try to get Katie's question here. Because this is kind of specific, but going through this process myself, I know I can relate to what she's asking here. If a will states how they want a trustee to distribute money. For instance, once a kid turns 18, they can have $5,000. When they turn 21, they can have the rest. Is the trustee forced to follow that request in the will?
So typically they are supposed to be supposed to follow that, unless there is additional language in it that's called HEMS, health, education, maintenance, and support. So if those provisions are in there, then it's a little bit looser. The trustee has discretion to pay those things out. You know, for example, if the kid wants to buy a car or go to college or something along those lines, and that's typical. You want that language in there to have options.
So. Yeah. Okay. Well, Todd, I really appreciate you being in here today. And a lot of people, there are more questions coming in. A lot of people complimenting the fact that we're doing this segment. So if you would be so kind as to, can we have you back?
Oh, I'm sure you can.
We'll talk to your people.
We'll talk to your people, and we'll hijack you for another couple of segments, maybe in another month or so, because there are a lot of unique situations, but when you start talking about it, it just is more, I mean, I hear these, and it causes you to kind of feel that tightness, that anxiety of, oh my gosh, I haven't planned for this, and I haven't planned for that, which is why you turn it over to somebody. It's, I think, way more affordable than people think it's going to be, and to know that you could have all of those questions asked and all of those documents completed in 2 weeks from that initial strategy session with Civia Law. Oh my gosh, why aren't you doing this right now? Like, just do it, get it done, and then you don't have to, every time you think about it, you exhale because you're like, I did it. Pat myself on the back. It actually is done. And then if you have questions or changes, they can come back and see you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Todd Civia, Civia Law, thank you for being here with us today. A reminder, they have locations in Edwardsville, Wentzville, East Dalton, Swansea, and Mount Vernon. You can book your strategy session right now by calling 833-995-WILL, 833-995-WILL. One more time, 833-995-WILL. So happy to have the Civia Law Firm as partners here with us on the Annie Fry Show. CiviaLaw.com and more debate conversation next. Don't go away.